Welcome to Practical Christian Living.
Paul was willing to have his life come unravel for the sake of the gospel. That's how much Paul believed in the message of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And no wonder. The Bible says that it is the power of God to salvation.
If there's anyone who truly knew what it meant to sacrifice for Christ, it was Paul. He gave everything, and he did so with a total and surrendered love for Christ, for the gospel, and for the unsaved. Though for most of us, our experience will be nothing like Paul's, may we still be willing to sacrifice however and whatever God asks with the right heart. With Philippians 1, 12 through 18, here's Robert Furrow, pastor of Calvary, Tucson.
Father, we are blessed to be here today. We're so thankful for the work of your Spirit in each one of our lives. We're thankful that you have called us from the sand and you have put our feet upon the rock. We're thankful that you have called us out of darkness and you have moved us into the light. And that we now live for you. We have given you our lives. We will go where you want us to go. We will do what you want us to do. We will surrender to you. We will sacrifice. And Lord, we pray as we look at Paul and his encouragement to the Philippians about the suffering that he is going through, we pray, Lord, that we would be willing through good times and through bad, through the good, the bad, and the ugly, to really be able to be committed to you. We thank you for this. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. You, Christian, have been given a commission by God. God has a calling upon your life. There is something that He has called you to do. And you say, well, I don't know if I'm in a place where it can be done. I don't know. I'm going through some difficulties now. How is it that God wants to get this commission done in my life? And the answer to that is that God expects you to carry out this commission wherever you are. In fact, I'm going to go out on a little bit of a limb here and say that I believe that God has you where you are now because God wants you to carry out this commission. Now, we find the commission in two different places in the Bible. We find it, first of all, and most commonly referred to, at the end of Matthew 28, which says this: go out and make disciples of all nations. So our call by Him is that we would go out with the message of the gospel and make disciples of all nations. The other place is in Mark chapter 16. And in Mark 16 it says, go and preach the gospel to all creatures. Our lives are to be used to preach the gospel. Now, I don't know what else God may do in your life. I don't know how else God will use you. All of us have different callings. All of us have different positions within the body. Paul said in Corinthians, some are an eye, some are an ear, some are a nose, some are interior parts of the body. Some of you guys that are lungs, you want to be a nose, but you're not. You're lungs. And if you pop out, people get grossed out. Whatever the case, we know that we each have our specific jobs to do within the body of Christ. However, within those specific jobs, all of us are called to shine as lights to a dark world, to be the salt of the earth, and to live the gospel. Now, St. Francis of Assisi, not of Assisi, by the way, but St. Francis of Assisi said, preach the gospel, and if necessary, use words. Now, I think that's very good for us to know as we get into a message that's going to consider the gospel, that the gospel is more than just what you say. The gospel is, first of all, lived in our lives so people see that in you there's something that's radically different than the people that are around them. They see Christ in you, the hope of glory, and from that, doors open up to share your faith. You say, well, I haven't had a chance to share Christ down at the auto shop. Now, I'm cussing every day, telling dirty jokes, drinking a little bit with them, and, you know, but I don't have a chance to share Christ. Well, I'm not too shocked. I'm not too surprised. You have to live your life before them first of all. That's the first thing for us to do, examine ourselves and ask the question, am I living my life in such a way that if I never spoke a word, people would know this guy isn't in the world? Now, they might not know that you're a Christian. They might not know what the gospel is, but they would know something is different about you. Now, I'm not just talking about being weird either. There are weird people, and weird people get saved, and they don't change their weirdness when they get saved. They're just as weird when they get saved as before. So I'm not talking about them saying something's different about this person because they're weird. I'm just saying, because of Christ in you, do the people around you know by the way that you live that you are a different person? The Bible says, come out from among them and be separate. And I believe that that's got to be a foundation to anything that we talk about when we start talking about the gospel. You have to live it first. Otherwise, it's just talky-talky. Otherwise, it doesn't mean anything. Once you start telling people about Jesus and then they're like, aren't you like, you know, having sex with your girlfriend? Well, yes, but I believe Jesus died for my sin. They're not going to listen to you. They have to see that there's been a change in your life, that you are different than the world and that you are living different than the world that is around you. Now, Paul, before he wrote the letter to the Philippians, Paul's life has come unglued. Paul had been called by God. You remember he was a Pharisee, very successful when he was a Jewish Pharisee. God saved him on the Damascus Road, brought him into Arabia for 3 years, brought him back to Jerusalem. He went to the church in Antioch where he became part of that church. And then those in Antioch sent him out. Somewhere along the line, it was really seen clearly that Paul had a gift, that he had a gift to be able to share the gospel, to encourage people along the lines of Christ. And Paul and Barnabas left Antioch, and they went out and they began to plant churches. Then for the second missionary journey, Paul and Silas went out and continued to plant churches and encourage those churches that were around. Then on this third missionary journey, he began to travel around once again, planting new churches, ministering to those that he had already planted. This took decades to do. He had been ministering for 20-something years at this point, planting churches, ministering to them, caring about them, seeing the gospel move. And literally, God had used Paul to take the gospel all around the known world. However, all of a sudden, Paul starts to have some of the prophets in the church. Guys are filled with the Spirit. They have the gift of prophecy. And they say to Paul, I have a word of the Lord for you. God wants me to give you a word that when you get to Jerusalem, chains await you there. Paul said it this way. He says, all I know is that everywhere that I go, I have prophets that are telling me that chains await me in Jerusalem. Now, if I were going to go on a missions trip to, I don't know where, let's just say Philadelphia, and some people at the church started saying, you know, I had a dream, or God told me to tell you that when you go to Philadelphia, chains await you there. I don't know what it means, but, you know, bad things are going to happen to you in Philadelphia. I don't know what it is. And it became evident to me that this wasn't just one person's, because, you know, I've had a lot of so-called prophecies that aren't really prophecies, right? The Bible says don't despise prophecies, so I don't. But the Bible also says judge them, and you need to, because there's a lot of weird ones. But let's just say that prophecies were given in such a way that it became a confirmation to me, which is what God was doing with Paul. That's why I heard it every place he went. Suddenly became a confirmation to me that in going to Philadelphia, some bad things were going to happen to me there. You know what I probably would do? I think I'll skip the trip to Philadelphia. I think I'll go somewhere else. But Paul didn't do that. Paul believed that God was getting him ready for what Paul would go through in Jerusalem. So Paul didn't change his plans. And so he gets to Ephesus. When he gets there, there's a prophet there by the name of Agabus. And usually people with the gift of prophecy, they're a little different. They're just different kind of people. Agabus walked up to Paul and said, give me your belt. And I could see Paul going, okay, Agabus, here's my belt. And he took Paul's belt and he wrapped up his hands. And then he said to Paul very dramatically, this is what awaits you in Jerusalem. Now, Paul knew that. He had heard it all along. This was nothing new to Paul. However, the people in Ephesus had not heard it. So when they saw Paul and Agabus tell Paul this, they began to cry. They began to weep. No, Paul, don't go. Don't go. Don't go. Please don't go. Stay. Go anywhere but Jerusalem. Don't go. We don't want you in prison. Here's Paul's response. What are you doing in breaking my heart? Don't you know that I am ready to be imprisoned for Jesus? He said, don't you know I'm ready to die for him, much less be imprisoned for him? Paul was willing to have his life come unraveled for the sake of the gospel. That's how much Paul believed in the message of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And no wonder. The Bible says that it is the power of God to salvation. See, sometimes we begin to argue with people about evolution, and it should be argued against, because the more we learn, the more science grows, the more science is saying evolution as it is taught is completely out of bounds. Evolution will be revealed one day as silly science. That's not my quote. That's the quote from a secular scientist that studies evolution who said one day evolution will be revealed as silly science. There will be a day that we will laugh at what scientists have presented as evolution. And I could go on and on about that, by the way, and you guys know I could because you've heard me do it before. We could argue with people about evolution, which is my point. We could argue with people about philosophy. We could argue with people about life and how we just couldn't come out of nowhere. We could argue with people about why bad things are happening upon the earth and how could God let bad things happen upon the earth. We could get into all of these different things, and you may win those arguments, but no one's going to get saved by it. There's no one that ever got saved by saying, you're right, evolution's out there. Probabilities are off the charts. It's not going to happen. You're right. And you go, okay, well, good. I won the argument. Bye-bye. Bye-bye. And they leave. Nothing happened. But when you tell someone, listen, God created you. God created you uniquely. You are different than anybody else on this earth. He loves you. He knows everything about you. He knows every tear you ever cried. He sent his son to take your place on the cross. And if you would receive the work that he did up on the cross and ask him to forgive you, he'll forgive your sins. And not only will he forgive your sins, he'll come and live inside of you. And you can know him and he'll fill you with the Spirit. And on the third day, he rose from the dead and he is alive. And he will reveal himself in you with power. That saves people. That's why Paul was willing to go to prison for the sake of the gospel. I don't know that Paul would have been willing to go to prison for the sake of arguments against evolution. Or that Paul would have gone to prison for the sake of philosophical arguments. There's a place for them, don't get me wrong. There's a place for them, there's a time to do that. But they are not the power of God to salvation, right? Because the Bible says that the gospel is the power of God to salvation. Paul said to the Corinthians, I didn't come to you with the wisdom of men, but I came to you with the power of God, which is the gospel. He brought them the message of Jesus Christ, and their lives were touched and saved. So Paul, once he got to Jerusalem, he got arrested. I'll quickly go through this. Paul goes to Jerusalem. He gets arrested. There are 40 men that take a vow that they're going to kill Paul. Paul is then transferred from Jerusalem to Caesarea, where they plan on ambushing him and killing him. The plan gets found out. They bring in 200 soldiers to guard Paul, which is really funny when you think about it. Because you can imagine these 200 soldiers and a cavalry. They had horses, they had soldiers coming to guard one prisoner to take him from Jerusalem to Caesarea. When they got there, they probably thought they were going to see some really impressive guy. Do you remember what Paul looked like? You do, guys? He was short, bald, bug eyes, and he had bow legs. And so, you know, here's the soldiers. We're here to take the prisoner from here to Jerusalem. Here comes Paul. Hey, guys, how are you? You know, it was like, just didn't make sense. But of course, it wasn't the power of Paul that had done anything, was it? It was the power of the gospel that had been demonstrated through Paul. Paul certainly meant it when he said, God has chosen the foolish things of this world to confound the wise. People would scratch their head and go, is this really the guy that planted churches around the world? Well, as Paul went to Caesarea, he stood before Festus. And when he stood before Festus, Festus said to Paul, listen, these guys here say you've broken their laws. And I don't know of any Roman laws you've broken, but they say you've broken laws. Are you willing to return to Jerusalem and stand trial for these charges? Now, if Paul, who had to have this huge guard taking him from Jerusalem to Caesarea, if Paul would have gone back to Jerusalem, what would have happened to Paul? He had probably been killed. And so Paul says, no, I'm not willing to go back because I've done nothing wrong and I appeal to Caesar. As an American, you have the right to appeal, and a lot of cases get appealed, and certain cases can be appealed to the Supreme Court. Well, Caesar was like the Supreme Court, and every Roman had the right to appeal to Caesar. And so Paul appealed to Caesar, and Festus said, to Caesar you have appealed, and to Caesar you shall go. Well, a guy by the name of Agrippa showed up a few days later before they had sent Paul away, and Paul shared the gospel with Herod Agrippa, remember? And he flattered him, kind of like, Agrippa, you know the Jews, and you know their laws, and you know that I have not done anything that's wrong. And by the way, you also know that the Messiah came, and he gave his life, and he told him the gospel. And Agrippa said, you almost persuade me to become a Christian? Paul, that took every opportunity to share the gospel. From there, Paul was sent by ship to Rome. While they're on their way, there's a shipwreck. Some have said that's the first instance of surfing in the Bible. The Bible says everyone grabbed a board and went ashore. I don't know whether any of them caught a wave. I guess it's possible that, you know, kind of wave came in and one's like, whoa, look, I can stand, you know, and I might very well be the start. While he's there on Malta, he gets snake bit. It's like it just keeps getting worse for Paul, remember? He gets snake bit and all the natives of the island are like, this guy's going to die, this guy's going to die. But Paul just keeps on, never dies. And so the message gets preached there. And then he goes to Rome. Now he's in prison at Rome. Now you go back to Philippi and you hear people in Philippi. Hey, did you hear that Paul's in prison in Rome? No. What happened? Well, he was in Jerusalem and he was in the temple and he got arrested and then they beat him and they took him to Caesarea and he stood before Festus and Agrippa and then they took him and got shipwrecked and got bit by a snake and now he's in prison in Rome. And everybody, no, really. See, they're upset because their friend, whom they love, has gone through all of this. And it's pretty traumatic. It's gone through a lot, right? Now, you may have been gone through a lot now. Maybe a lot of difficulties in your life right now. Maybe you haven't been shipwrecked and snake bit, but you're going through a lot. And so Paul wants to write them to tell them, it's okay. What has happened to me is okay. Here's his argument. Let's pick it up in verse 12 of chapter 1 of the book of Philippians. He says, I want you to know, brethren, that the things which happened to me have actually turned out for the furtherance of the gospel. Now, we understand now clearly the things that have happened to Paul, right? We just went over them. And he says they have turned out for the furtherance of the gospel. He doesn't say they were done for the furtherance of the gospel. He says they turned out for the furtherance of the gospel. Now, I want to go to a little bit of application before we continue to read on. I don't know where you're at. You may be in a job that you don't like. You may be at a school you don't like. You may be... Maybe there's an illness that you're suffering with. You find yourself going from doctor to doctor and you're depressed and you're upset about what you're faced and what you've gone through. And I'm not saying that God has done anything any that you're going through or anything that you're facing today, but I am saying this. Could it be that God wants to use all of your hardships, whatever you're facing or wherever you're at that you don't want to be, for the furtherance of the gospel? Maybe you've got a job you dislike and you dislike the people that are there. And God's saying to you, until you share the gospel with these people, I'm not letting you leave. A lot of you guys are going to be sharing the gospel Monday morning. You're going to be telling people about Jesus. If that's the case, I'm going to share Christ so I can get out of this place. Now, I don't know whether that's the fact or not. But I do know this. You have the call. And no matter where you go or what you do, God could use that for the furtherance of the gospel. There have been many doctors that have given their lives to Christ by ministering to patients. The gospel has been spread in many different ways. Unfortunate circumstances allow you opportunities to be able to spread the gospel in powerful ways. That's what Paul's saying. He's saying these things that have happened to me have happened for the furtherance of the gospel. Now he gives two examples of how that happened. First of all, verse 13, so that it has become evident to the whole palace guard and to all the rest that my chains are in Christ. First of all, he says, it's become evident to all of these people that are holding me as prisoner that I am not a prisoner because I'm a criminal, but that my chains are in Christ. In fact, in some of the other letters, Paul greets the people in the letter with some of the prisoners that he's chained to that are as brothers in the Lord. Many of them came to Christ. Paul says, I mean, he could have sat in the corner of his cell. He could have put his head in his hands and said, why am I here and what's happening? And what I could be in Ephesus, I could be in Corinth, I could be planting new churches and what? But he didn't. He simply wrote letters. He shared Christ. He knew that wherever God had him, God had called him to be. And so those around him began to notice and see that Paul was different. They saw that Paul was different not only by the things that he said, but by the way that he acted. Paul wasn't their typical prisoner. Paul acted in a different way, and it opened up opportunities for the gospel to be preached. The second way in which it had furthered the gospel is in verse 14. And most of the brethren in the Lord, having become confident by my chains, are much more bold to speak the word without fear. They saw Paul in prison, and they were emboldened by it. In the 1970s, John MacArthur said something that is a hard thing to say, but I think it's true. He was talking about the lack of the gospel being spread within America, the lack of people in churches sharing their faith. And he said this, he said, I think the best thing that could happen to America is persecution, to the American church, is persecution. Because if we were persecuted, we would turn around and we would share the gospel. And I agree with him. It's a hard thing to say, but I agree with him. I think that if we were persecuted, a lot of us never share our faith. A lot of us never live in a way that we ever give opportunities because we're just not living the way we're supposed to. And so there's no way we could share our faith. No doors ever open up because we're not living the way we're supposed to. But if all of a sudden persecution came and somebody came in and said, you better not share your faith, all of a sudden we go, you don't tell me I can't share my faith. The next thing you know, you'd be telling everybody or you'd be emboldened. When I studied this week, I began to pray for us as a church that we would become more bold with the gospel. We have the truth. We know what sets people free. May God give us boldness that we would share the gospel of Jesus Christ. Let the rest of the world do whatever it's going to do, but our lives are for a purpose. We're living for a reason. We know what that reason is. We've been told what it is. Now, Paul now brings up the preaching of the gospel by some in Rome and some different places that are not doing it out of a pure heart. Within the churches, in fact, we'll use the church at Ephesus here as an example again. When Paul was leaving Ephesus, Paul wept with them, and Paul told them, listen, when I go, ravenous wolves are going to come in, and they're going to feed on you guys. People from outside the church are going to come in. Paul knew that there were going to be those that would try to take advantage of that church. But then he also said this, and within you, there are going to be those that are going to rise up to draw men unto themselves. Within churches in Paul's day and within churches in our day, there are people that look at what's going on in a church and they go, you know what? I should be used in a greater way than I am. I'm going to start, through envy and strife, they start stirring people up. We've seen it happen. We've been a church for 25 years. It's happened more than once. It's happened on several occasions where somebody starts strife within the church. They get a group of people and they start stirring them up. They start saying things, sometimes things that are absurdly false, absurd lies. Now listen to what Paul says in verse 15. He says, some indeed preach Christ even from envy and strife, and some also from goodwill. In every church where the church had been planted, there were those that wanted to be used by God. God had gifted them. They're gifted teachers. And out of goodwill, they wanted to be used by God. They want to be teaching. They want to see God move, and God's gifted them in that area. And if you guys are gifted in teaching, then you ought to be used by God here. You ought to look for opportunities to be able to teach and share Christ and let God move through you. But there's also, at the same time, those through selfish ambition or here through envy and strife. They're envious. They look at somebody being used by God and they go, that ought to be me.
We hope you've been blessed, encouraged, and edified by what you've heard here on Practical Christian Living, a ministry of Calvary Chapel here in Tucson, Arizona. If you'd like to hear more of Robert Furrow's teachings, visit calvarytucson.com, where you'll find recordings of weekly services at Calvary Tucson and also archives of Practical Christian Living programs. We are grateful for your donations that help fund the production and broadcast for Practical Christian Living. If this ministry has blessed you and you'd like to support it with your financial gift of any amount, please mail your donation to Calvary Tucson, PCL Radio, 5170 South Julian Drive, that's J-U-L-I-A-N, Tucson, Arizona, 85706. If you live in the Tucson area or you're ever visiting our community, We'd love for you to stop by one of our two campuses in East and Southwest Tucson. You can find service times online at calvarytucson.com. We'd love to have you visit for Bible study. Drop into our Solid Ground coffee shop and bookstore, or take a minute to look through our Mission Thrift Store located at our West Campus, which benefits our various missions projects. Have you accepted Jesus into your life or have questions about salvation? Email us at saved@calvarytucson.com. That's S-A-V-E-D at calvarytucson.com. And don't forget to follow us on social media, Instagram at Calvary Tucson or Facebook at Calvary Chapel Tucson. And we want to remind our local listeners that you can watch Practical Christian Living Sunday mornings at 8:30 on KGUN9. May you walk in the grace and peace of Jesus today.